Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take a whole stack of sources and, well, we boil them down to what you really need to know. Today, we're tackling a topic that's really shaping a lot of conversations in American politics right now. It's about faith. It's about public life. Our goal, our mission for this deep dive is to unpack the ideas of a pretty significant figure, Doug Wilson, and his vision for what's called a Christian theocracy. We'll look at what that actually means, where it comes from theologically, historically, how it plugs into the whole New Right movement, what kind of impact it's having on actual policy, and of course, the criticisms. By the end, you should have a really solid grasp of this pretty complex idea, get you informed, quick and thorough. So maybe keep this question in mind as we talk, what would a Christian theocracy actually feel like day to day? And, you know, how close is America to anything like that? Let's dive in. First up, the man himself, Doug Wilson. Our sources paint him as a prominent theologian, an author, a pastor. Born in 1953, he spent a lot of his life focused on faith, culture, politics, pushing this theocratic vision grounded in Christian principles. So tell us a bit about his background. How did he become so influential?
Yeah, it's interesting. A key thing about Wilson is his deep roots in the Reformed tradition. That's a branch of Protestantism really emphasizing God's sovereignty, the Bible's authority. He gained his BA from the University of Idaho, which sort of set the stage. His influence grew through connections like with the Presbyterian Church in America, the PCA, a major conservative denomination.
Right.
And he was also key in starting a new denomination, the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, or CREC. That group really leans into Reformed principles and this idea of Christian governance. People know him as a very compelling speaker. He's articulate about this worldview where society, its governance, should align with biblical doctrine. Everything, politics, education, family life. He's written a lot too. Books like Reconstruction Theology, about applying biblical law broadly in the federal vision, a theological movement he shaped. It all points to this commitment.
Okay, so that brings us to the term itself, Christian theocracy. No. Many of us have probably heard it, maybe thrown around. But what does it actually mean in practice? How is it fundamentally different from, say, the American system we know now?
Right. At its core, Christian theocracy is a model where the state isn't just separate from the church, it's directly influenced by it, maybe even led by religious figures. Laws are explicitly based on Christian doctrine. Government authority, in this view, comes directly from God's will, and the goal is to promote, maybe even enforce, Christian values across society.
So a direct challenge to separation of church and state.
Exactly. That's the tension. It really questions that foundation of American secular democracy. Can a nation built on individual liberties function under a system based on a single interpretation of divine will? It's a huge contrast to secular governance, where you have that separation, and laws are meant to come from democratic principles, reason, evidence, things we can sort of test and debate openly, not just religious doctrine.
In Wilson's vision, you're saying it's not just about laws.
No, it's comprehensive. It would integrate Christian principles into everything. The legal system, sure, but also cultural norms, education, what kids learn in school. Supporters genuinely believe this would lead to, you know, better moral behavior, more civic responsibility. Think about issues like family structures, marriage definitions, even how businesses should operate ethically, all potentially shaped or even mandated by specific Christian teachings codified into law.
Wow. That is a radical departure.
Yeah.
So given how different that vision is, you have to ask, where does this deep conviction come from for Wilson? What are the roots?
Well, the driving force really seems to be his interpretation of the Bible. He sees it as the ultimate guide, not just for personal life, but for how society itself should be structured. He argues that divine authority isn't just for your private moral compass. It should actively inform public policy. A big piece is emphasizing God's sovereignty over everything, including politics. No separation in that sense. He often points to the Old Testament, Israel's governance, as a theocracy, as a kind of model or justification for trying something similar today. And you also see the influence of Puritanism. The Puritans, remember, aimed to build a godly society governed by biblical law. There's a historical echo there.
Right, right. And this is where it gets really interesting, politically speaking. How did these ideas, these deep beliefs, start gaining traction, especially connecting with the New Right movement that became more visible, say, under former President Trump? But first, when we say New Right here, what exactly are we talking about? How is it different?
Good question. Yeah, the New Right in this context isn't just traditional conservatism. It's a segment that's, well, more assertive, more aggressive on social and cultural fronts, often framing things as a fight against moral decline, They strongly advocate for government reflecting a Christian worldview, pushing policies based on traditionalist values.
Okay.
So they want faith much more explicitly in the public square. And Wilson's ideas, his framework for a Christian theocracy, it offered a kind of robust theological justification for that. It resonated with conservatives looking precisely for ways to blend their faith with political action.
It gave them a language, almost.
Exactly. And it seems particularly compelling for some younger conservatives maybe looking for a clear direction. Wilson's emphasis on faith, touching every part of life, provides a strong narrative. Plus, the new right has been very savvy with modern tools, social media, online discourse, amplifying these messages, framing them in terms of patriotism, moral revival. That draws people in.
So Wilson's not alone in this. Our sources talk about key influencers and allies helping push this Christian national agenda. Who are we talking about? Who else is part of this broader picture?
Yeah, definitely not in isolation. It's part of a bigger collaborative effort. If you look closely, you see figures like, for instance, former Vice President Michael Pence. He's consistently advocated for policies aligning with conservative Christian values. That suggests a wider strategy among new right figures to link religion and political goals.
Makes sense.
Then you have influential religious leaders like Franklin Graham, head of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He uses his platform quite effectively to mobilize evangelical voters behind candidates who champion these values. And you absolutely cannot overlook the role of think tanks and advocacy groups, like the Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF. They're a major conservative Christian legal group.
Right, I've heard of them.
They provide crucial legal muscle, resources, lobbying power to promote policies in line with these principles. They essentially amplify voices like Wilson's through courts and legislatures.
It's really striking, isn't it, how these theological ideas can actually start shifting laws and impacting daily life.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the tangible impact? Are we seeing real changes in policy in Washington, D.C. or state capitals because of this advocacy?
We are starting to see it shape the conversation, and sometimes the outcomes, yes.
Yeah.
Particularly on those hot-button social issues, abortion, marriage, education, religious liberty. Take abortion, for example. Mm-hmm. Supporters of a theocratic approach often frame restricting access as a moral imperative drawn from the Bible. And you see legislative efforts in multiple states trying to limit abortion access, sometimes quite severely. Some politicians involved explicitly reference ideologies that align with Wilson's thinking. The justification often sounds very similar.
And beyond abortion.
The push for traditional marriage definitions is another key area. That's led to proposals aiming to restrict or ban same-sex marriage or limit rights for LGBTQ plus families. And in education, proponents are advocating for curriculum changes, more emphasis on religious teachings, especially in science and history. Plus, the whole movement towards school choice, vouchers, often benefits private religious schools.
So it's kind of seeping into different policy areas.
Right. Sometimes the impact is subtle. It's not always a giant theocracy bill. It's often through seemingly smaller legislative pushes that, taken together, reflect that broader worldview.
Of course, a vision of this. Significant. It's bound to face strong pushback. Who are the main critics and what are their biggest concerns?
Oh, absolutely. The criticism comes from several directions. Interestingly, some comes from within the Christian community itself. These critics worry that Wilson's stance could actually undermine American democracy, especially that principle of separating church and state, which they see as protecting everyone's freedom of belief.
Even their own.
Precisely. They argue his vision could lead to a society where anyone not adhering to his specific interpretation of Christianity gets marginalized. They fear policies infringing on the rights of religious minorities or even non-religious people.
And from outside the Christian community.
Similar concerns, but often framed differently. Secular voices emphasize that political decisions should be based on reason, ethics, evidence, things accessible to everyone regardless of faith, not just one religious doctrine. They fear that basing laws on religion could deepen societal divisions, maybe even increase hostility between different faith groups and between religious and non-religious citizens.
So you've got these serious criticisms. You mentioned declining religious affiliation earlier, especially among younger people. Considering all that, what are the actual prospects for this vision? Is a Christian theocracy a real possibility in America going forward?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The prospects are debated. Really depends on several moving parts. Public opinion is huge. Those surveys showing declining religious affiliation, particularly among Gen Z and millennials, that suggests a growing comfort with, maybe even preference for, secular governance. That's a big potential roadblock for implementing a full theocratic system.
A demographic headwind, maybe?
Could be. And then, of course, elections matter immensely. If conservative candidates who align with Wilson's ideology continue to gain ground, well, you might see more opportunities for these principles to influence policy, maybe even become law.
But the opposite is also true.
Right. If there's a shift towards more progressive candidates or even just traditional conservatives who strongly oppose this blending of church and state, that could push things further towards secular governance. It poses a major challenge to Wilson's vision.
So the future's definitely not written. It seems like proponents of this kind of Christian-led government might need to, well, adjust their strategy given the political climate and how public attitudes are shifting, especially if they want to get closer to their goals. So we've really taken a deep dive today into Doug Wilson's world. We've explored his vision of Christian theocracy, its roots in theology and history, how it connects to the new right, the real-world policy impacts, and importantly, the strong criticisms it faces.
Yeah, and what's really pivotal here, I think, is how Wilson's work and legacy really highlight this ongoing, sometimes tense conversation in America about where faith fits into politics. It's about finding that balance in a society that's incredibly diverse.
Definitely. So as you, our listener, reflect on all this, here's something to maybe chew on. In a country with so many different beliefs, so many different values, how does understanding visions like Christian theocracy, even if you disagree with them profoundly, help us navigate that fundamental tension between individual freedoms and our collective aspirations for what makes a good society?